Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great today, Chris, and yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, it is Wednesday, our favorite day of the week, because it is New Comic Book Day. So what better day to talk about comic books than on New Comic Book Day?
Than Wednesday.
Than yes. Wednesday, absolutely.
There's a, I don't know the name of it, there's a website.
Is it, is it comicbookdaily.com?
No.
Oh, comicbookdaily.com
is one of the sites I go to for my news.
Okay.
But there's a very popular website. I think it's called something like Living Between Wednesdays or something.
Oh, okay. You might know that. I don't know that one. Yeah, okay.
Something like that. So, yes, it is Wednesday.
I like that thought, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I like
surviving
that.
Wednesday to Wednesday or
surviving
something like
between
that.
Surviving Between Wednesdays?
Yes. Yeah. It is Wednesday.
Yes.
New books are out today, and as always, we like to start the show by highlighting a few of the books that are released today.
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Chris, I'm going to start with Marvel, like I always start for some reason.
Yeah, well,
Next week, I'm starting with DC.
You know what? I'm going to hold you to that, because okay. You always do start with Marvel, but you know, we'll see how it goes. I think you have a thing for Marvel. I think you think you're a little bit prone more towards Marvel. And I think that it's all because of Luke Cage.
No.
Yes.
No, it's about Black Cat, to tell you the truth.
Oh.
You're right, it is about Luke Cage.
Yeah, I thought so. That's right.
Okay. Dark Tower, The Battle for Jericho Hill, number one.
Okay.
Comes out today. Now, I've lost count, but this perhaps may be the umpteenth miniseries coming out of this whole Stephen King thing. It's working.
I was just about to say, have they not flogged this horse enough? Like, is it not going long enough with this whole Dark Tower thing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what they're doing is they're containing them to six parts and stuff, and I guess they're gauging the success of each one.
Is Stephen King actually writing these themselves?
No. I think what the way it goes is that they're based on King's writing.
Right.
And then Marvel writers, I don't know who wrote this one. But
right. But somebody else takes his ideas.
Yeah, and do some stuff there.
This kind of reminds me of years ago. I don't know. Now, you might not remember this because I know you're fairly new in the comic book world.
Yeah.
But certainly in the newer issue stuff.
Okay.
Years ago, there was a series of comics called Techno Comics. And Techno Comics had a whole bunch of lines of series of comics based around famous people's works of writing.
Yes.
But they weren't actually writing them themselves. So it would be like Leonard Nimoy's Primordials or Gene Roddenberry's Such and Such.
Written by Chris Owen.
Written by a whole bunch of nobodies. So, and this kind of smells a little bit of that.
Well, no. You know what? I think, the secret to longevity here is the graphic novels of these things actually do quite well.
Okay.
So, Marvel's got a formula here, and it is working. So
okay, well, all the power to them.
Okay.
Okay, what's next?
Hey, Iron Man, or as my friend says, Iron Man versus Whiplash,
yeah.
Number one.
Oh, well, Whiplash is the new big hot character for the movie coming out, played by, I can't remember his name now.
Mickey
Rourke. Right. And so, of course, now they're going to just, flog that horse for a while, right?
Yes, they will. And that sounds exactly like it's happening here.
Absolutely.
They are producing a Iron Man versus Whiplash to get everybody re-familiar with Whiplash.
With Whiplash, that character everybody knows and loves.
Now, why would, the Marvel Studios go to Whiplash
as a character?
In the movie.
Well, I think he's an interesting enough character that is going to be easy to make the transformation to comic to screen.
Right.
Unlike, you get a character like, say, the Mandarin, whose powers are all in his finger rings.
In his egg rolls.
In his egg rolls. Or I love the Mandarin.
Yes, me too.
Or you get a character like the Titanium Man, who's all about nuclear power. It might be a little bit too over the top or something.
Right.
Whereas Whiplash, it's a guy with some metal whips, basically,
okay.
Right?
Fair enough. That makes sense.
And Mickey Rourke plays a good washed up anybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, also from Marvel, The Siege Siege
yeah.
of the Cabal, number one. It stands today. Now, the siege starts here, Chris.
Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Really?
Now, the siege, Chris,
yes.
is the next big Marvel event that's following the Dark Reign thing.
Okay, okay, now, is this all written by Brian Michael Bendis, or do we know?
Oh, Bendis will be writing a whole bunch of writers
of course.
It's going to go over
right,
all the
titles. Right, well, yeah, and you'll have to buy all of them in order to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, now, if you remember, I think, the Secret Invasion? That started with the meeting of the Cabal, too.
Oh,
I think it was Illuminati.
The Illuminati, that's right. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
you're
it started
right.
with
the. So it had like Stephen King and Prince Namor and.
Stephen King.
I'm sorry.
What was he doing there? That guy's everywhere. Dang.
Sorry. Yeah. Dr. Strange
right.
is who I was thinking of. Sorry. And had like Black Bolt and. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, switching over to DC.
Although, wouldn't that make a great comic?
I yes. mean,
Stephen King and Dean Koontz.
And Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. Oh.
Hey, guys.
Excelsior.
Yes. Blackest Night, number one. Blackest Night's The Flash.
Okay.
Number one of three.
Okay.
And Blackest Night Wonder Woman, number one of three, hit the stands today.
Cool.
Now, what I don't like about this, Chris, this is a complaint here,
uh-oh.
Is now Blackest Night is already, we're awaiting issue six.
Right.
And it's been selling really, really well.
Right.
So, come on, six issues in, we're going, hey, I think we can squeeze out a couple
Absolutely.
More,
a
couple, you know.
A couple more dollars.
Yeah, a couple more, what do you call it?
Miniseries
yeah. that are connected to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something. What do you call those, runoffs?
Yeah, spinoffs.
Spinoffs, yeah, yeah. yes. Yes, and that's just, I don't like that at all.
Well,
but,
absolutely.
But you know what? They're going to be snapped up like crazy.
For sure, for
Especially
sure.
the Flash.
Now, these black...
Jeff Jones is writing.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Greg Rucka writing...
yeah, you know what? They'll be fantastic books. Those are very solid writers. I hope the art is going to match the writing capabilities. I don't know if you have any info on that or not.
Scott Collins is doing some art.
Well, you know, Scott Collins, a longtime artist on The Flash with Jeff Johns,
yes.
so it's kind of cool to see that collaboration right. come together again.
And Nicola Scott is doing some Wonder Woman.
She is a great, great artist. I actually have a sketch by her.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, you know what? The combo is good. You got a great writer. You got a great artist
yep.
on both those titles.
Yeah, very cool. Very
they
cool.
are hitting the stands today.
Yeah, those should sell well.
Okay, Chris, we're going to end.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh.
And we're going to jump into some industry news.
Hey!
Okay, we're going to go revisit the Thor casting couch.
Okay.
And news is now that, what is the news here?
What is
that,
the news? Now, of course, you're talking about the Thor movie, right?
Thor movie.
We've got the Thor yes. movie, and we've got Kenneth Branagh's directing it.
Yes. Now, the talk is that Hawkeye might make an appearance.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah.
Very.
Now, the guy that they're saying...
And for those of you who are listening, it's not the Hawkeye from the MASH TV series either.
No.
We're talking about Hawkeye, the guy with the bow and arrow.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
A guy named Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
Will be apparently maybe playing Hawkeye.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And this guy, Jeremy Renner, he was appeared in The Assassination of Jesse James, The Hurt Locker, Dahmer... So he's been in a bunch. He's a well-known actor.
Well, the Hurt. Actually, I just saw a trailer. I still haven't seen the movie The Hurt Locker yet. But that's the one where it's all about a bomb squad and all
right,
the people
right.
crazy enough to actually want to be part of the bomb squad and that kind of thing. Yeah, it's very
right.
cool.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, just it seems like every week you're picking up some sort of new tidbit
well,
on that Thor movie.
You know, I hope that this Thor movie matches the hype. In how well it does in the theater.
Yeah,
right?
I hope so too. I don't think it can lose from what stuff is piling
yeah,
onto this
yeah.
thing right now. I don't think it can lose.
No.
What the only thing I'm afraid of is man, it's just tremendous amount of press on this so early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can it
yeah,
sustain
yeah. Yeah, well,
the press
yeah,
level?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, Chris, what else do we have? Oh, according to some sort of Hollywood blogger,
okay,
an insider at Warner Brothers,
so good news source.
Well, apparently,
all right.
An insider at Warner Brothers,
yeah.
has stated that a live action film production of the Superman project are officially on hold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what that is.
Lackluster reviews and poor box office of the last movie
oh.
seems to have killed the franchise.
Well, you know, I did enjoy the last one. However, you know, it was fun, but you really, it's going to be hard to top anything that Christopher Reeve does. I thought Brandon Routh did a good job.
Yep.
Or Ruth, I'm not too sure how you say his name. But I thought he did.
Don't ask me.
I thought he did a great job. However, you know, I think they tied it into the last movie a little bit too much. I think they would have been better off if they had done something the way the Batman movies have gone and just created a whole new franchise, not recognizing the last movies at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I think it's nice to always, you know, hey, pay tribute to these things. However, when you're trying to jumpstart a new franchise, I don't know if they did it the right way.
Right, right. Well, Peter at Comic Book Daily has a suggestion that they reboot the franchise to the Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely, All-Star Superman.
Oh, well.
You know, which had that just beautiful sense of innocence, yes, and yes, stuff, and it didn't take itself too seriously.
No, I agree. I think it'd be a great idea.
And that would work. Yeah, I think that would work, too, because I think the first Superman was like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, the first Margot Kidder, Christopher Reeve Superman was all that innocent play and stuff. And then it just kind of got
too heavy with its own
success.
With this one, you know, there was too many big stars. We had Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor, and there was the birth of Superman's son, and it was very kind of dramatic, and it was a little bit too much.
Right, right. Hey, news out of Japan.
Right.
One Piece, Volume 56. One Piece is a very popular manga title.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
In North America, I believe it's up to issue 21 or 22.
Okay.
One Piece Volume 56 is first printing at 2.85 million copies.
No way!
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. So I'm really, really glad to see that the manga, basically comic books, is alive and well in Japan. And print is massive.
That's awesome.
On popular titles like One Piece, like Naruto, like Death Note and stuff like that. So can you imagine when's the last comic that got over a million print?
Well, that would have been like X-Force or X-Men back in like 1991.
No.
Yeah,
I think something after that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah?
The only one I can think of may have been the Batman 10-Cent Adventure.
But, okay, I'm not counting those giveaways.
Well, but that's
where people have to come in and pay a couple bucks for the comic.
I think it was. I don't know if any comic has surpassed those numbers since then.
Wow.
Well, okay. Spawn sold a number of copies.
Yeah, but that's the same era.
Same era, sort of thing.
It's the same era.
I don't think there's anything in the 2000s era that approached a million copies of anything.
Well, that wasn't a giveaway.
Yeah, that wasn't like a 10-cent comic.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, good for good for comics in Japan.
Absolutely.
And for us, One Piece does very well in the manga selection.
Yeah, it sells too.
It's in the top five.
Oh, very good. Sellers. Okay.
Okay. Hey, the New York Times.
Yeah.
Has come out with a graphic novel gift guide.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty cool. So, first time they've done that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Now what's on the
Well, let's go over it and see how well the New York Times is informed.
Okay.
Okay. I being, you know, experts
in the field, yes.
They have their recommendations for graphic novel gifts for the holidays.
Yes.
Is Walking Dead.
Oh, very good idea, yeah.
Excellent idea. So they hit the mark there.
Yep.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yep, very good idea.
Excellent idea. Criminal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Beautiful.
Very cool.
Ed Brubaker's crime noir type stories. Complete Essex County, which is like it's a small press stuff.
I believe, top
shelf.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah.
Good stuff. Vertigo, Absolute Death.
Oh, really? That's interesting that they would put that in there. Okay. For all the goth fans out there. Yes,
apparently so. Now, I'm not familiar with this one, Chris. You might be. IDW Publishing, Activate.
Oh, I don't know that one at all. No.
All right. Then we have Bloom County, the complete library.
Oh, yeah?
Now, the problem with Bloom County,
that's so old.
Yeah, they're reprints of
that
shouldn't count.
That's not really a graphic novel.
Now, New York Times, you missed on that.
That's just a reprint of all the different strips, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, granted, it was classic in its day with Bill the Cat and Opus the Penguin. You know, I don't know if I'd call it a must-have, though, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tarzan was a classic in its day,
too.
Yeah,
sure.
Peter and Max, a Fables novel by Bill Willingham.
Okay.
Now, That's a novel, though. I know it's a fables novel, but it is
it's a novel?
A prose novel. So
oh, well, it shouldn't even be on the list.
It shouldn't be on the list. Fables, which should be on the list.
Absolutely.
And they round it off with A Wonderful World of Oz, the new Marvel adaptation.
Oh, by Scotty Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not bad. Yep, yep.
Excellent stuff. So it's great to see the Times getting involved.
That's a very interesting list because nothing really on that list is any way related to the stuff that we often talk about as being the classics of graphic novel literature.
Yeah, where was there a superhero?
There wasn't. Well, no, there's no Batman,
nope.
Arkham Asylum.
There's no Spider-Man.
There's no Mouse. There's no Watchmen. Right. So none of those that we were sort of used to seeing is on that list, which is very cool.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, there were other ones that he liked, but again, very very low. He did mention Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess is okay. That was pretty well the only mention
of a superhero. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good.
But it's very interesting that you know, there's all kinds of other genres within the, I should say sub-genres within the comic book culture that is emerging as a legitimate read.
Excellent. Hey, let me ask your take on this, Chris. In Comic Book Daily, a writer, Brent Chittenden,
who's
a freelancer out of Ontario,
he and
a partner, they do a podcast called basically Two A-Holes Talking About Nerd Stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And he had kind of a little tirade, a rant against DC.
Uh-oh.
Over this whole... DC, the graphic novels.
Yes,
they don't come out until a year later.
Right.
Marvel's graphic novels come out like a month later.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And what's behind? Like, is DC missing the boat on this, or is it some sort of business strategy that they're following?
I think it's totally a business strategy. I think people know with Marvel that the graphic novel is going to come out a month later, so they can wait the extra month to buy just the graphic novel. Whereas DC, as I'm sure, they're saying, hey, you know what? If you want to read it now, if you want to be in the know now, you better get the comics.
Is that a number two publisher trying to shore up their monthlies?
Probably. Yeah. Probably,
that
absolutely.
That makes sense in that sense.
Yeah,
I guess because Marvel's slaughtering them usually.
Yep, yep.
I know DC's doing well lately. But
you know what? Having said that, traditionally DC has done extremely well with their graphic novels.
Yeah.
If you look at the history, you look at The Preacher, The Sandman,
all the Batman stuff.
Yeah. You know, really, they've done very, very well.
Fables.
So I think that they really should step up to the plate. Maybe not a month, but maybe 2 months after.
Yeah, that's funny though, because when you say that, well, you know, Marvel rules the roost in the monthlies. They always kick DC's butt.
Yeah.
And traditionally, like you said, DC dominates the graphic novel market.
Absolutely, yes.
And yet Marvel is the one. But then again, this could be a flip side too, right? This could be, you know how I said, is this DC trying to shore up their monthlies?
Yeah.
This also could be Marvel trying to push their graphic novels.
Absolutely, right? For sure. Yeah, for
sure.
But they're going to, you know.
Is that good?
This is just it. I hope that this isn't a short-sighted way of thinking as far as Marvel's concerned, because if too many people start buying the graphic novels as soon as the comics are done, they're going to wait for the comics. Wait for the graphic novels, rather. Not buy the comics, and then the comics won't get made because not enough people are buying the comics.
Right.
So then the graphic novels won't get made. So what do you do?
What comes first?
Which comes first, right?
Yeah. So DC, in other words, is honoring the monthly comic by holding out on the graphic
novels. That's right. I think they're... You know, maybe they don't have to wait a year, but I think they're doing the better idea of waiting a little bit of significant time. Yeah.
Right.
So the people at what was the name of that website or podcast? Who are these people again?
Oh, the Two A-Holes Talking About Nerd Stuff.
Right, right. Well, I think they have to rethink their thinking on that.
Well, I guess fanboy maybe.
Right.
But you got a good point. All right. Related, Chris. We're gonna end. I think we're about two-thirds of the way through here.
Unfortunately.
We're going to end industry news there.
Yes.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to jump into a topic you and I were discussing a little bit earlier
today.
Right.
And this is a very interesting topic, and I'll let Walt kind of intro to it a little bit. He knows he kind of introed it to me, so I'll let him intro it to the masses here.
Right. Basically, in my travels, I jumped onto a great website, ICV2, which I'm sure a lot of you have jumped onto too. And there's a running debate between a bunch of comic shops about the industry's ability to produce graphic novels and comics for the teens. And a lot of the shop owners are complaining that there isn't good material for teens. And everybody's looking for an answer, basically. And so I kind of want to open the debate with Chris here on, you know, the comic industry, which is absolutely dominated by Marvel and DC.
Absolutely, okay? Yes.
What are they doing to entice the not the fanboys,
no,
but entice the teen readers to come into the medium?
Right. Well, here's the thing: the teen age bracket is very specific. They want things that are a little bit more adult, yet at the same time not too adult, as which to maybe scare them off.
Right.
Maybe they won't understand.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want to see a typical, early teen reading
the criminal
or maybe Preacher, because it's too hardcore.
Right.
However, having said that, we don't have the kind of comics that we had in the 70s where a younger kid, a preteen / early teen, could read any comic out there and have it be safe for the masses, right? We've got comics now in the Marvels are maybe a little bit too adult. Maybe they're not adult enough. And then we've got all the really early stuff that DC does with Johnny DC, I think it's called.
Yeah, Johnny DC.
Johnny
you're
DC
right.
does
yeah.
the really early kind of kiddie stuff.
And Marvel also does that kind
Marvel,
of
Marvel Adventures.
But Marvel Adventures, but they draw them like they're for 5-year-olds.
Yeah, they
right?
really tone it down, and they really kind of they're really meant to be for real little kids. Then you've got the adult stuff, but the teen audience really there's not much there. It seems like they're having a problem identifying their teen audience.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think my take on it is that when I look at, say, Marvel, because as you say, I'm more of a Marvel guy, but Marvel, it's almost like they're hemmed in. They're hemmed in by the audience that they have already.
Yeah.
Even look at Stephen King.
Yes.
They're doing Stephen King to attract Stephen King fans.
Right.
They're doing all these miniseries to basically keep the throngs of Marvel fans interested.
Yep.
But what are they doing that's super creative that goes outside the realm of comic book fans? Because, face it, the comic book fan...
Yep.
We're all born, just by law of averages, in any town, in any place, there's a certain percentage, and it's small, that loves comic books,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And Marvel is catering to those. Well, what are they doing, and DC, what are they doing to expand the type of product that they're producing
right.
that will entice non, cape fans,
yes,
non-superhero
absolutely,
fans?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think... you know what? You brought up a really good example of what can be done. You mentioned before the show, Walter and I were talking, and he mentioned a book called Runaways.
Yes.
By Brian K. Vaughan.
Yes.
A perfect example of what a great teen comic can be that's not your typical sort of
superhero type stuff. Yes.
And I think really...
So they have successes,
yes,
but it's
absolutely.
Just limited.
I think one of the issues here that we're really talking about is the expansion of the comic book readership through teens by offering a variety of product that isn't cape related,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're used to Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, the Hulk, all that kind of stuff. But, the comic book industry really is very incestuous in a way.
Yes.
They keep on hoping that the same people keep on buying the same books over and over again. And once you're in, you're sort of ingrained. But to get into that comic book industry, to understand it, takes a long time. And if they don't start to develop material that is going to be freely accessible to the teen audience, they're not going to get that audience.
But that material can't be tied to the continuity.
Absolutely.
And the canon.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it has to be fresh.
They have to start offering new material that is not Cape related.
Right. And I mean, one of the articles in this ICV2 article goes talks about the big publishers like Random House and Penguin. And they noted a while ago that stuff like Harry Potter and Twilight were selling massively to, sure, to the teens.
Sure.
So guess what? An explosion of content aimed at that age group, that, you know, different kind of, you know, different franchises are springing up.
Absolutely,
to,
yeah.
To take advantage of this obvious interest by teens to read some stuff that they're interested in.
Now,
I'm saying that Marvel and DC have not responded by creating enough, you know, good stuff that's not, you know, secular and insulated within that comic book. You know, I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, have a absolutely, because you know what? And this one of the things that I think that Marvel and DC, although they're very good at what they do, they don't do everything. And I think they have to expand their market into doing more than just superhero stories. One of the things, as a college professor, that I often tell people about comics that are, you know, don't really know a lot about it, and maybe Marvel and DC should listen up, because comic books and graphic novels is just another way of telling a story.
Yes.
It's another medium, not unlike, you know, poetry and movies and dance and art, and it's just another way of telling a story. They don't have to be tied down to the superhero genre. And I think, like as we said, although there were superheroes occasionally in Runaways, that's a great example of what they could do without having it being overblown with superheroes.
Right. I think if they tie their future to trying to create new storylines for the Avengers and you know, putting out the big Avengers movies and try to include the masses, again, just by, you know, the law of averages, the neurons firing in everybody's brains, there's a certain percentage that are predispositioned to the comics, and you're not going to grow it by trying force feeding, you know, a Spider-Man down people's throats that may be more interested in another creative thing. And, you know, and again, I'm going to give you another example of Marvel. A success story is Criminals.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Criminals is a you know, crime noir thing, but and it gets to another point here. It seems that Marvel's and DC's forays outside the superhero thing are creator driven,
yes,
and not company driven.
No, you're right.
You know what
you're
I mean? They're not.
Right.
They're not corporate. Driven, it's like a creator that has a lot of license is saying, hey guys, you know, let's try something new.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem is that these characters have been around for so long. I mean, Superman's been around for 70 plus years.
Oh.
You know, how many stories can we tell about Superman before we kind of get tired of him? You know, we're used to, we know what he is. He's an icon. They're icons of the industry. But you know what? He's not the only icon of the industry. He's not the only story that can be told about the industry, within the industry, rather.
Right. Buddy Saunders, who owns Lone Star Comics in Arlington, he had a great point in this article, and he says that, you know, the problem with the comics is it's run by fans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, as a fan, you know, when I was younger, I thought, you know, hey, it'd be great to write and draw comics because you love them so much. And of course, you know, that's why you get into the industry, because you love it and love it so much, because you want it. You have stories to tell about your favorite characters, and it becomes a recurring thing where, you know, hey, you get involved in the comics, you start reading them, you like them, you think it's a great thing, so then you want to tell your own stories about these characters. Well, I think what we need to find writers and artists that aren't tied down to the superhero genre that want to still tell stories within the graphic medium.
Yeah, I think the answer there is more. You need a manager. You need the decision makers in the upper echelons of these companies that are making the decisions.
Yeah.
Is you need them to farm out, say, hey,
absolutely,
let's try this, let's try that, let's try some creative new things. You know, let's not hold our company hostage to Ed Brubaker.
That's right.
And to Brian K. Vaughan and
Brian Michael Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis.
Jeff Johns.
Yeah. Let us make the decision, and let's get some new creative juices flowing through, because we have a great medium. Comic books, graphic novels are one of the greatest mediums to tell stories that exist.
Yep.
But we're limiting to it by being so inclusive.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely, I think you've really hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, I think, and I think that it may get to that point. Certainly companies like Image and other independents have gone down that route and tried to expand on that market. You know what? Unfortunately, Walt, we're out of time once again. Somehow our half hour just isn't enough. But, you know, we encourage our fans to write into us and let us know how you feel about today's show. Please email me at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca, or you can email Walter at mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Go out, enjoy your day, and support your local comic book retailer.
See everybody next week.